Welcome back to another episode of Into Money, where we break down trading strategies and share actionable insights with you, the trader at home. I'm Chase Cottenwar, brokerage content editor here at Fidelity Investments. Joining me today, as always, is Tony Zhang, the chief strategist and co-founder at Options Play. Tony spent the better part of 16 years helping to educate clients on everything from trading, risk management, and of course, options. Tony, as always, it's great to have you back on today's program. And I think, like our audience, I'm genuinely curious as to what's on your mind. I know there's a lot from a macroeconomic perspective, and then you like to look at some of the fundamentals and technicals and get more technical. And so I think with that, let's hop right in, Tony. What's on your mind from a macroeconomic perspective that our option traders might care about here today? It's good to see you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Chase. We're coming off of what has been nearly 2 months of what has been fairly shaky sentiment in equities. We've had some weakness, we've had some strength. And I think last week was a pretty significant test of where equity market sentiment is with regards to the rally that we saw here on what was a relatively thin week of trading. Things were looking a lot shakier the week before when the S&P broke below the 50-day moving average. It looked like there was the potential for equities to actually start turning lower here. But last week was a pretty significant turning point where the S&P managed to rally back above the 50-day moving average and hold that level. So that's an first encouraging sign that bulls may still maintain control here of the overall equity markets. Now, as we return back to a more normal condition this week, that was really the true test. And so far, that market strength has largely held up, even though momentum hasn't really continued here to the upside. At the very least, we've managed to hold that 50-day moving average and certainly have held the 6,500 major support level on the S&P. And what we really would like to see is for markets to resume its way back to those all-time highs and break out above those all-time highs to really confirm that the bullish trend is still intact. Otherwise, we remain in more of a shaky, neutral view here for the overall market. Now, the one thing that has turned around in the last week or so that's created the positive sentiment here has been the shift in expectations for the rate cut next Wednesday, that the FOMC is going to make for the December rate cut decision. At the moment, bonds are pricing in a nearly 90% chance that we're going to get a rate cut here for December. And that's really on the back of the fact that the CPI print has provided us a sense that inflation has not run away. The labor market continues to cool, which is the basis for why we need to continue to cut rates. And what's interesting is really that cross-asset stress has peaked its way into the equity markets. We started the week off with a pretty significant test of Bitcoin pulling back, and creating this risk-off environment across the board. But so far, it's interesting to see how far Bitcoin has bounced back here this week and contributed to the S&P also holding on to the gains for this particular week. But so far, we've seen tech, mega cap tech, continue to be a strong anchor for optimism here. The NVIDIA earnings from a couple of weeks ago solidified that AI is still, that bubble is not ready to pop just yet. And the economic picture overall has remained remarkably resilient. Consumer sentiment has actually managed to, or rather, consumer spending has managed to maintain a fairly even level. We saw Black Friday sales come in better than expected. So, even though there are some strains that are starting to show up in kind of consumer finances, especially if you consider the fact that the labor market has cooled significantly over the 6 months, that's really the big long-term concern that I still have here. But inflation remains, largely in check. We continue to see relatively strong corporate earnings growth here on the S&P 500, and that's going to continue to provide support here for the overall equity markets. So, if you look at the VIX, we have seen a pretty significant retreat from where it spiked a week and a half ago to where we are now. We're back to that 16 level here on the VIX, so fully retracing last month's spike. And so I think in this type of market environment, it's better to take sort of this barbell approach where there are opportunities to be tactically bearish in specific names, specifically where we have seen weakness in some of these overvalued growth names. At the same time, you know, we think that there are opportunities to deploy capital for longer term bullish positions. As you know, the medium term, the optimism remains intact, especially as you look into 2026 and expectations of potentially three more rate cuts in 2026 right now is providing kind of the support here for what looks like a good looking 2026 at the moment.
Yeah, Tony, that's a great breakdown. And just for the viewers at home, or maybe if you're a newer trader, the VIX is really just a way to measure that forward or expected future volatility in the S&P 500. And you bring it up, Tony, that there's been a recent decline. Some might even use the term mean reversion, or in other words, we're seeing this kind of very quick spike up and then a retracement lower. And I'm just curious, do you see that as an opportunity for option traders? Is that impacting them in any way? And before you answer that question, sort of another one underneath that would be, when it comes to mean reversion trades, another way that people might talk about this is shorting volatility. They're essentially expecting volatility to return to historical levels. Is that something that you look for in options trades? Is that a component of the maybe options pricing you factor in? I know there's a lot in that question, but can you maybe just break that down for us from an option trader's perspective? How does this volatility mean reversion impact your thesis at all when looking at the market? And does that create opportunities?
Yeah, absolutely. So just to kind of clarify what you mean by that, you know, the implied volatility of an option. So when we look at the VIX, what that's measuring is the implied volatility of the S&P 500 options. We're looking at 30-day options. And what the VIX is measuring is just the level of cheapness or expensiveness of the options on the S&P 500 options. And when we refer to the term mean reverting, what that means is that there's a long-term average that the option prices tend to oscillate around. And when we talk about trading that mean reversion, essentially what we're saying is that when the option prices are getting elevates or spikes, that's an opportunity to be short options and profit from if the value of those options drops to the long-term average. And vice versa, there's also the opportunity that when the option prices get too cheap, meaning when the VIX gets down into that 12, 13% level, well below the long-term average, that there's also opportunities to be buyers of options. And I think that is a very core component of how options traders will typically select the optimal strategy for their directional view on an individual stock. So for example, if you have a bullish view on a stock and options are very inexpensive, meaning the IV, the implied volatility of the option is relatively low, then it might make more sense to be a buyer of options, or maybe a buyer of call options if you're bullish on a specific stock. And then vice versa, if let's say you're bullish on that same stock, but the options are very expensive because the implied volatility is very high, then maybe it's a better opportunity to be selling put options and be short options and short that volatility. So I hope that answers your question with regards to, you know, what is mean reversion and how does that factor into an options trader's view using that metric?
Yeah, that's super helpful, Tony. I remember when I was first reading my option books, I would, you know, kind of struggle with this volatility concept. And thankfully, there's a lot of folks here at Fidelity who really helped to prop me up and coach me. And another way I think about volatility, and you think about the VIX index as a proxy, is you can think about it too as demand for options. That's kind of a different way we could sort of talk about the concept too of, hey, demand for options is increasing, or maybe it's decreasing. And so a trader just might want to factor that in when it comes to whatever their option trade is. Now, I want to shift gears a little bit, Tony. Thanks for diving into that rabbit hole here with me. We talked about the macro, right? What's going on with the S&P, volatility. Let's get a little bit more micro and tactical. What's the first trade that's kind of on your mind that you're looking at from an options play perspective?
Yeah. So as I said in the macro section, I think in this type of market environment, there are two opportunities. One, you can take some potentially tactical bearish opportunities as, you know, the market seems to be on shaky grounds. There is potential that we do see some future volatility as we've seen over the last few weeks. And at the same time, I think there are opportunities for the long term. So today, what I want to take a look at is one of those short-term tactical bearish ideas, specifically on Tesla. And this is because Tesla continues to face some significant headwinds for its business. You know, recently the shareholders have approved this $1 trillion pay package for Tesla and Elon Musk. And the question is whether or not those specific targets make sense and whether or not those targets aligns the company with where it can generate the most return for shareholders. Now, obviously, the biggest target for that pay package is market cap. But if you look at the specific targets in terms of car deliveries, in terms of where it's focusing on, you know, there are some concerns that I see here with the fact that increasing competition from EV makers globally has continued to pressure margins down to, you know, the 5% range. And that means that Tesla is no longer the high margin car company that it used to be. And when it trades at such rich valuations, I see some significant downside risks with Tesla, especially since the stock has recently started to underperform a little bit. Because if you look at a chart here for Tesla, you see that it recently formed the double top around that 470 level near the 52-week high. And ever since it formed that double top, momentum has stalled, the stock has pulled back, and it's underperformed the S&P 500. It's broken down below that 50-day moving average. And since it broke down below that moving average, it recently just came back to retest that level. And I think that is the opportunity potentially to take some bearish exposure where the risk to reward looks incredibly favorable for the bearish side. And this gives you the opportunity to take a bearish trade while maintaining a low level of risk. Because if the stock resumes back up to that 470 level, the amount of risk that you're taking here is relatively small compared to the downside potential here. You know, my downside target for Tesla is around 330. So we're talking about over $100 downside potential with around $20 worth of risk than upside. So the risk reward looks incredibly favorable when you wait for this right timing. And I think the timing on this is particularly strong. And more importantly, if you look at the valuations for Tesla, this is really the big concern for me. And arguably, you could say Tesla has been overvalued for a very long time, but it hasn't been this stretch in a while. You know, we're trading at roughly a 200 times next year's estimated earnings. You know, there's really no major mega cap company trading at those types of valuations. Tesla is in a ballpark of its own. It's trading at 16 times revenue. There's just no car manufacturer. There's no AI company. There's no robotics company. There's no any type of company that Tesla is supposedly meant to be that trades in the realm of the valuations that it's trading in. And then you add on top of the fact that margins have compressed substantially in the last year. Deliveries are meant to decline here for 2025 versus 2024. And their expectation to monetize on autonomy, which is their full self-driving mode of the Tesla cars, seems to have a fair amount of regulatory hurdles. And that's really the only thing that I see here in their roadmap that could lead to some margin expansion here. So the fact that net profit margins have compressed to just 5%, you know, that's not much higher than the average car manufacturer, well, at around 3%. And that was the one thing that Tesla really excelled at. They used to have net margins that are in the 10% range, well ahead of the car industry, which is why they commanded such rich valuations. But as margins continue to compress, that's really the downside risk that I see here with this stock. And with the timing on it, I think makes sense to potentially take some tactical bearish exposure. So the trade structure that I want to use here takes into account the implied volatility of the option. That's what we were talking about before at the top of the show. Because if you look at Ivy Rank, which measures how cheap or expensive options are right now compared to the last year, Ivy ranks at 4%. So meaning it's at the very low end of how cheap or expensive options have been over the last year. So in this particular market environment, it favors to be a buyer of options when you're taking a bearish exposure for Tesla. So I'm looking at buying put options. I'm looking at buying the January 445 puts. But instead of just outright buying the puts, and the reality is the fact that I don't think the stock is going to zero by January expiration. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sell on the 380 puts against that. And what that allows me to do is reduce the overall cost of the trade by selling that 380 put. I can collect $6.25 while paying $26 for the 445 puts. Net here, I'm paying $19.80 per share or $1,980 per contract for this put spread. And that gives me a total risk potential of $1,980 per contract if Tesla stays above $445 by that January expiration. And then if Tesla is below $380 at expiration, remember my price target is $330. So even if it's meaningfully lower and it hasn't even reached my price target yet, I'm looking at a maximum gain potential of $4,520. So we're talking about a risk reward ratio that's nearly 2.5 to 1 on this type of trade structure. And that's really what I'm trying to shoot for. If Tesla does see a little bit of volatility and we see some concerns around valuations in the market, this is the type of stock that could potentially drop relatively quickly. And I want to take advantage of that using a trade structure like this.
And Tony, you mentioned dropping quickly. Now that kind of brings up a question that I think a lot of our viewers are always not struggling with, but trying to figure out is how do I choose my expiration selection to match up with my trade thesis? Like, for example, you mentioned it's going to be a bearish put spread. Okay, that makes sense. I understand. And then we say, okay, maybe there's going to be a quick retracement lower or it's going to decline in price. Okay, check that box too. How do we come to the January expirations? Like, you know, two-ish months, there's holidays, so there's probably fewer business days in there. But how do you decide as a trader that expiration? Is there a rule of thumb that you use? Is there a methodology? Or is it as simple as, hey, that's just when I think the stock's going to be at least lower by that time frame? Like, kind of share some of that insight with us.
Yeah, it's a fantastic question. You know, a January expiration right now is around 43 days to expiration. So, you know, the reason that generally speaking, when I'm looking at a tactical bearish position, I usually don't like to go too far out in terms of expirations is because generally shorts bearish moves tend to happen faster and more violently than moves to the upside, right? Well, there's the old adage of, you know, we take the elevator down and we take the escalator back up with regards to the market. So meaning we drop faster than we tend to recover. So that's why in this particular case, I'm taking an expiration that's relatively short dated. I'm going out to the January monthly expiration because that's just a nice, easy expiration to choose versus a weekly option in the early January phase, which also could potentially be a reasonable time frame. But I just chose the monthly one for an easy one for everyone to look at. It's a commonly traded expiration date, which means that liquidity is also very strong for that earnings date, even though generally speaking, Tesla liquidity is not an issue. But it's usually taking a look at time frame and how far I expect the stock to move in that time frame that goes into account for choosing an expiration date.
Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense, Tony. And you know, the adage I used to share with clients is going to be stairs up, elevator down. So very similar to what you mentioned as well, right? It takes a little bit of time to make that progress. And just a second for it to unfortunately undo its work. And we see that across markets, but certainly with technology companies or technology stocks, that elevator can be quite harsh at times. So I appreciate the insight there. I do want to just shift gears for a little bit here. We talked about Tesla. We talked about the macro view. We talked about volatility. Let's look backwards for just a moment. We've been talking forwards for quite some time here. What is the kind of look back trade that's on your mind? I think it's FedEx that we're looking at here, right? How is that trade performing and what are your thoughts and kind of what do we want to do with that moving forward?
Yeah. So a few weeks ago, I laid out a bullish thesis on FedEx when it was trading just under that 270 level. And we sold a put spread here on FedEx. And at the time, volatility was a little bit higher, which is why we chose to sell puts, a put spread specifically, rather than buying call options. And, you know, that ended up being a good call because FedEx, even though it has moved higher here, hasn't moved up much higher. So this is really an opportunity for us to potentially close out this position because we are starting to approach expiration. The expiration is December 26th. Even though we're early December, we're going into 3 weeks before expiration. And generally speaking, whenever you're short an option, that last 3 weeks starts to add something what we call early assignment risk. The potential for, because you're short an option that's near the current price of the stock, we're short that 265 put, we're not too far away from that. There's always the potential of early assignment. We want to avoid that at all costs. And the way to do that is to simply roll out this trade further out in time. So we sold this initially for $5.25 in terms of credit. It's now trading around $4.65, which brings us a small net profit on closing out this particular trade. But because the thesis is still intact for a bullish view for FedEx going into the end of the year, what I want to do is, instead of just simply closing out this trade, I want to look at rolling it out to that January expiration. So earlier today, I was looking at rolling out to the January 270-250 put spread. And what that does is it does expand the width of the vertical spread here by $5. Initially, we had a 265-250, which is $15 wide. By moving out to January, because the January strikes were $10 apart, I have to choose the 270-250. And earlier today, you can collect about $6.95. So what that basically means is I can roll the profits from my first trade into the second trade. That's going to improve my risk reward a little bit on the second trade and maintains my bullish exposure here for FedEx into the rest, into January, as opposed to having that expiration before the end of this year. And it just simply allows me to maintain my bullish exposure, lock in a little bit of profit, improve my risk reward, and just continue pressing my initial thesis, which so far has proven to be correct.
And Tony, there's a really important point I want to call out here, which is that you're looking to continue the original thesis, but with a new trade. And the reason I call this out is, back when I used to be on the Trading Strategy Desk coaching clients, a lot of clients I spoke to have come to the belief somehow, and I get it. I mean, I was there too when I first started learning about options, but that rolling somehow fixes a trade, or it saves the trade, right? We can somehow take that time machine and undo what has been done. But I think what you're eloquently explaining here is that rolling isn't fixing. We're not updating. We're not undoing the past previous trade. We're just simply conveniently closing a previous trade and then opening a new one. So just for anyone at home who's maybe newer to multi-leg strategies, they can be very complicated and complex. Just know that rolling, you know, the way I like to explain it, it's just a convenient way to close out the old and open the new, right? Back in the day, commissions used to be a really significant cost to traders. And so if you could put two trades in a single ticket, that'd save you a little bit of commission time and headache. So Tony, the really interesting take here, again, just to reiterate, we're using a roll to continue the original thesis. But I think, Tony, you'd probably agree, if your thesis had changed, you're probably not rolling. You're probably just closing the trade and moving on to whatever is next. Speaking of next, I want to thank everybody for your time here today. Tony, thanks for coming back on the program. It's definitely a good time listening to you and your thoughts. I also like to shout out the Trading Strategy Desk. So please, folks, please remember, we've got a follow-up session coming up here. It's going to be tomorrow, Friday, at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can sign up for that follow-up session by going to fidelity.com/in-the-money-follow-up. And if you're looking for further insights, or maybe you missed some of today's live coverage, you can sign up for our Active Investor Weekly newsletter and receive highlights for trades discussed by Tony and myself by going to fidelity.com/Active Investor Weekly. Thanks everybody for tuning in. I'm looking forward to the next episode, but until then, take care everybody. We'll see you.
Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Options trading entails significant risk and is not appropriate for all investors. Certain complex option strategies carry additional risk. Before trading options, contact Fidelity Investments by calling 800-544-5115 to receive a copy of Characteristics and Risks of Standardized Options. Supporting documentation for any claims, if applicable, will be furnished upon request. There are additional costs associated with option strategies that call for multiple purchases and sales of options, such as spreads, straddles, and collars, as compared with a single option trade. Technical analysis focuses on market action, specifically volume and price. Technical analysis is only one approach to analyzing stocks. When considering which stocks to buy or sell, you should use the approach that you're most comfortable with. As with all of your investments, you must make your own determination as to whether an investment in any particular security or securities is right for you based on your investment objectives, risk tolerance, and financial situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Greeks are mathematical calculations used to determine the effect of various factors on options. Indexes are unmanaged. It is not possible to invest directly in an index. Views expressed are as of the date indicated, based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of Options Play, and not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. News, commentary, market data, and research reports are from third-party sources unaffiliated with Fidelity, unless otherwise noted, and are provided for informational purposes only. Fidelity does not endorse or adopt third-party content. Fidelity makes no guarantee that the information supplied is accurate, complete, or timely, and does not provide any warranties regarding results obtained from their use. Any screenshots, charts, or company trading symbols mentioned are provided for illustrative purposes only, and should not be considered as an offer to sell, a solicitation of an offer to buy, or a recommendation for the security. Options Play and Fidelity Investments are independent entities and are not legally affiliated. The third-party trademarks appearing herein are the property of their respective owners. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC. Copyright 2024 FMR LLC. All rights reserved. 1109225.1.0. Information provided in the podcast is general in nature, is provided for informational purposes only, and should not be construed as investment or tax advice. Fidelity Investments disclaims any liability for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information in this podcast. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC.